Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we'll take your calls on using cell phones in the school. As we talked about with Councilmember Jackson last hour, the New York City Department of Education started enforcing this ban that was longstanding on paper, but now it's being enforced last month by carrying out random surprise visits on schools. So we're going to take some calls about the cell phone ban, and we are going to save some lines both for parents and educators, because it's one thing to have an opinion as an outsider. And as I mentioned to the councilman, I have an opinion as a parent of a New York City public school middle school child. We haven't given him a cell phone yet, but I would like that option. We've almost given him a cell phone over the last couple of years, just as an emergency communication tool. And so if he gets delayed on the way home from school and he does commute by subway, you know, he could contact us, as has come up a couple of times, and he's had to find other ways to call. So parents, how important is it for you to stay in touch with your kids by phone? But I realize there is another side to this story, and that is that if cell phones are causing chaos in the school, if they're getting in the way of actual instruction and education and decorum, that the school administrations have a reason for wanting cell phones banned. So we're going to save some lines for parents, save some lines for teachers or anyone else who works in the school, principals, anyone else who happens to be home today, home sick or whatever. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, 212-433-9692. And again, don't get offended if you get bumped. It's not that we're censoring your point of view. We're going to want some people who work in the schools, and we're going to want some people who don't. 212-433-WNYC on this question. Now, here's what Mayor Bloomberg said about the issue last week.
I don't have any easy solutions for parents who want their children to have cell phones before school and after school. We just don't have the money or the space to have lockers and that sort of thing. It would be a nightmare, and that monies would come out of the classroom.
Mayor Bloomberg last week. So what do you think of his argument about the cost implication as well as anything else? This is a debate of the modern age, isn't it? You didn't have this choice a few years ago. 212-433-9692. And while your calls are coming in, a little promotion about something that we're going to do for the first time. If your idea of the perfect mate has the legal mind of Nina Totenberg, the sense of humor of the Car Talk guys, the storytelling prowess of Ira Glass, and the accent of Sylvia Poggioli, then you're in good company, and that's why we're going to fill SOBs next month with public radio listeners at the first ever WNYC singles event. I'll be there moderating a news quiz, and that will be Tuesday, June 6th at SOBs. Tickets available on the events page at WNYC.org. So there you go. Something we've actually talked about doing for a long time because of the sense of community that people get from WNYC. So maybe some of you singles will want to attend our singles event. But what about cell phones in schools? Nadia in Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Hey, Nadia.
Hi. I'm a freshman in college. But last year, I went to an Islamic high school, and the way they did it in the morning was they would collect about 50 senior classmen cell phones, because for the first few months in school, when text messaging was becoming extremely popular, we would text message each other. Not answers for tests, but that was a few of the students would, you know, go as extreme as doing that. And the teachers would go absolutely nuts and send you straight to the office. I was actually one of the students who, you know, it was so strict. It was such a bad issue that they started suspending people who forgot to put the cell phones in the box in the morning. They took it very extreme, but at the same time, a lot of us had, you know, we were really technologically advanced, so we had these cell phones with calculators in it, so when we didn't have our scientific TI-83 calculators, they let us use our cell phones, you know, and a few students went the other way and used it for some other reasons, but, you know, we use it, you know, for at least the scientific aspect of it. So in some ways it could be good, in some ways it could be, you know, really bad.
So what do you think the overall, what policy would you implement if you were the, you know, the king of the education universe?
In my opinion, I would not allow cell phones in the classroom. We would, like I said, we would text message each other and completely disrupt the whole classroom because somebody else knew the joke that another person received because you could forward it to multiple people. And, you know, it was just out of nowhere we would start, you know, laughing. And there goes the classroom for about 40 minutes because the teacher would send people to the office and the wrong people to the office.
Right. And so it's a problem.
A huge problem. I would never, and my sisters, I don't let them take their cell phones to school. I actually have fights with my mom in the morning when she lets them take it, and I tell them not to.
So do you think that a compromise could be workable, that apparently they're considering in the New York City Council now, that cell phones would be allowed on the, you know, on the person, but they would have to be turned off, not on mute, but turned off completely during school hours?
Well, but, I mean, there's no way of really monitoring that. I mean, I know the surprise checks would occur, but really, I mean, they could look turned off completely because cell phones, you know, they can turn into a black screen, but really be on right when you get a text message and then turn right back off. You know, it doesn't have to, it doesn't always look like it's on.
Mm-hmm. So you would just go with the ban?
A complete ban, yeah.
Thank you for your call, Nadia. I really appreciate it. Catherine in Freeport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Brian. I would just concur with everything that young woman was just saying. I used to teach high school, and these girls are so, it was a girls' school where I taught, and they were so technologically advanced, and they were just constantly on their text messaging one another. And if they had a phone call coming in, they'd ask me to go to the bathroom. It took me a little while to figure out what was going on, but it's so disruptive. It's impossible. And there are parents who do call their kids during the school day, but I really question the maturity of a parent who feels the need to speak directly to their child during the middle of school. And if a parent really has something important to say to the child, they can call the principal, call the school and ask the school to speak to the child.
Catherine, thank you for your call. We're going to switch directions right now. President Bush is holding a short news conference with the Prime Minister of Australia at the White House, and he's being asked a question by a reporter right now about the NSA data mining. Let's listen to his answer.
That have been designed to protect the American people. Now, I've also been clear about the fact that we do not listen to domestic phone calls without court approval, and that this government will continue to guard the privacy of the American people. But if Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States, we want to know. And we want to know why. For the Australian press friends here, we got accused of not connecting dots prior to September the 11th. And we're going to connect dots to protect the American people within the law. The program he's asking about is one that has been fully briefed to members of the United States Congress in both political parties. They're very aware of what is taking place. The American people expect their government to protect them within the laws of this country, and I'm going to continue to do just that.
Australian Press, Mr. Khoury.
Mr. President, Philip Khoury from the Sydney Morning Herald. Look, your relationship with Mr. Howard is obviously very close. Personally, and I was wondering, first, could you just expand a little on that chemistry? And secondly, sir, do you think you would be able to work effectively?
Well, that's a softball not worth airing. Can you expand on your good chemistry with your colleague, the Prime Minister of Australia? But there was the President's answer on the NSA, and we may go back to that news conference if he gets another substantive question. The President reaffirming there that there are no wiretaps of domestic-to-domestic phones without, or phone calls, without court approval. So that is one of the questions, I think, that's been hanging out there over the last few days about these latest revelations about what the U.S. phone companies are providing to the government or what they're doing with it. The fact that for the first time, on some level, it involves domestic to domestic, reportedly, and not just overseas to domestic or domestic to overseas. They may still be getting the information of what numbers called what numbers for domestic calls. He didn't answer that one way or the other, but he says they wouldn't listen in to any calls without court approval. All right, so speaking of listening in, Cosmo in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Back to the other kind of telephone debate we were having on cell phones in schools. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Brian. As a parent of a child that does take a cell phone to school, I would like to point out that there are plenty of kids that are taking cell phones to school, and they are not a nuisance whatsoever. They are not using them. They're not texting each other. They're using them sensibly and responsibly.
Of course, but the Education Department's point is that it only takes a handful to disrupt the class in the way that both the former teacher and the former student were discussing before.
Well, then I would suggest that the authority to whether or not the cell phones could be there or not should be the principals, because if a whole grade is getting by without being disruptive, why should they be punished?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Derek in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Derek.
Hello, thanks for taking my call, and I love your show. Listen to it as much as I can.
Thank you.
I'm a former math teacher in a SIR or distress school in the South Bronx.
Uh-huh.
This ban, your original comment, the Board of Ed started enforcing, was a misnomer and frankly incorrect.
Uh-huh.
They've always enforced this ban. The issue has been where the magnetometers or metal detectors have been placed. In the distress schools, particularly in a high crime area, they've been there for years. In 99 and 2000, they were in the South Bronx, Smith Vocational at 151st Street, and any kid who came with a cellular phone at that time, it was confiscated till the end of the day. The students don't need the cell phones during the day. If the parents call in, they're supposed to call into administration. The administration figures out if it's supposed to be important enough to get the kid, the child rather, and then they have a target of the child's schedule on computer. They go fetch the child and communicate the information, or let the child speak to the parent or guardian. In addition, the disruption issue, as a student called in, was right on target.
Mm-hmm.
The phones can be disruptive and often are disruptive in the classroom. And to those students who are at or above grade level, that is, they're not struggling with the material, they're often used for alternative purposes like cheating, as well as general disruption, as the student called in pointed out.
So, Derek, did I understand you correctly to say that when it was enforced, the phones were checked at the door, basically, and given back to the students at the end of the day?
Affirmative. And not when it was enforced. It's always been enforced. The issue that's brought it to light is basically the color of justice. Now that the magnetometers are roaming and they have these surprise magnetometer inspections at schools that didn't already have it,
mm-hmm.
Now they're hitting non-black and Hispanic kids, and all of a sudden their parents are saying, oh, this is a problem. Where black and Hispanic kids have been the majority in the so-called problem schools, they've always confiscated them. It's always been a rule. You can't wear a hat in school. You can't take a cell phone or pager in school. It's always been that way. It's just that a certain population is now being hit because the Board of Ed has changed its tactics and started to roam the
right.
Detection places.
Or maybe the enforcement was selective in the past, too, because a lot of these middle-class kids are suddenly being told that they can't use their cell phones when apparently they were using them. Witness the story that we heard from that girl who graduated last year.
Well, the difference there is the difference between the teachers trying to teach the class and then the school safety officers doing their job. It's the school safety officer who confiscates the items. The teacher's only supposed to report the items,
mm-hmm.
unless there's an actual disruption being witnessed with a device. Then the teachers are allowed to confiscate, but they're not allowed to take it out of the child's hands technically. You're supposed to ask the child for the item. The child's supposed to give it to you. If he doesn't give it to you, you're supposed to call school safety. When you have the magnetometers at the door, it's the school safety officers who are doing everything, and they're allowed to confiscate and just take it out of the kid's hands if necessary.
Right. Now, if I understand the mayor correctly, he says that you can't do it on a system-wide basis the way that you described, that it's too complicated to have every student check every cell phone at the door on the way in and then pick up their cell phone on the way out. So do you think that could be a solution system-wide?
I think this is mixing the apples and oranges issue. The issue that has brought this to light is the magnetometers are being randomly placed.
Right.
Everywhere there's a magnetometer at a school, the enforcement is pretty much the same. That has fueled the furor currently because they're being placed at schools that not, well, in my opinion at least, not so much predominantly black and Hispanic,
right.
Where they go to schools to other students and their parents say, well, I got this phone and so forth, and you've discussed that issue. However, let me point out to you, in Europe, this is not such a big issue. I heard on WNYC myself, I think 4 to 6 months ago, that in Europe, children under 14 aren't even allowed to have cell phones because Nokia, either the largest or second largest manufacturer, and let me point this out, these are now mobile phones. Cell phone was an analog technology. We're now into digital technology.
Mm-hmm.
They found that the potential damage to lymph nodes of developing children is a possible health hazard. So children under 14 in Europe, according to an NYC broadcast, uh-huh. aren't even allowed to have cell phones.
Yeah, interesting. So what do you think the system-wide solution should? Well, let me ask you a different question. Since you're raising the
let me point this out in totality of your question.
Uh-huh.
What the mayor was really driving at, although I don't think he articulated it well,
uh-huh.
I think he's really saying we can't afford to have the magnetometers at all the schools. 1.1 million children, that's a lot of magnetometers.
Yeah, that's what he said in the clip, right?
So the other issues that you didn't touched upon that I thought was interesting, or at least Mr. Jackson touched upon.
Uh-huh.
He said the prison issue and the crime and safety issue. He mentioned the amount of guns, knives, and razors that were confiscated versus the number of phones. One of the things that people leave out who aren't in the school system day-to-day is we call it crime target possibility. And that is to say that kids who bring expensive items to school become the target of crime. If they're not able to, I hate to use Bruce Willis's analogy, but cowboy up, they get bullied out of their property. That's why they shouldn't wear gold chains and gold
right.
earrings.
So in our last 20 seconds, do you think there is a race and class issue here with the magnetometers or metal detectors that there? It's not just the cell phones, that there's more and more of a police state for the black and Latino kids?
Well, I have to say the answer is yes. I'm not going to say it's not justified. I myself am a former math teacher. The reason I don't teach, and one of the reasons I don't teach anymore, because the student threatened to shoot me, and they found out he had a gun. The same caliber and type of gun was later used 3 months after I left the school. A student was shot on the campus.
So maybe it is, and maybe it needs to be. And, Derek, I appreciate your call. Please call us again.
I will, but let me close with one item. Jamming was an option that somebody pointed out. Jamming is a blanket of microwaves. And I'm not so sure that's not a health hazard to everybody's students
too.
And staff.
Thanks a lot. Thanks to all of you who called. Brian Lehrer, talk to you tomorrow on WNYC.